Hello, it's me, your favorite mathematician. Sorry, I've been, not really uploading a lot lately, but today we are going to begin a new topic, one that I've put in a little bit of research because when I was in high school, I was actually not so good at math. I was, of course, whatever, in all the advanced math classes, but I was never in the top. I was never seen as like a good math student. It was just, I was there because I was, I don't know, I don't want to brag about myself, but just like naturally gifted at math. So I was just in the class. But there was a class that was held at 8 a.m. at my high school. It was for like the top tier math students, and it was called GT Calc, and that stood for Georgia Tech Calculus. There was this guy, he was really, really good at math. You think I'm gifted? No, this guy was good. He was like top hat level, like freaking good. And he did a project that was very artsy. And it was about something called the Fibonacci sequence. The Fibonacci sequence is something that comes up a lot in everywhere that you look. So, interestingly enough, you can find so the Fibonacci sequence is a set of numbers that there's a rule that it abides by. So think of this number as or this sequence having a rule. So every second, here's an example. Every second person in a line you pick out. And that would be like a sequence with a rule. No different than a Fibonacci sequence, for every, I don't know it off the top of my head. One time in higher level mathematics, algebraically prove the roots of the Fibonacci sequence. And it's like 1 plus or minus square root 5 over 2 square root 5 or something like that, but I cannot remember. But back to my previous point, the Fibonacci sequence. You can often find these numbers in everyday nature. So, for example, a flower that you see in your garden may have a Fibonacci number, or the amount of petals in the flower may be a Fibonacci number. And you may ask yourself, like, does this occur? Well, within nature, there are these ways that you can see math. It's called sacred geometry or sacred math, and the Fibonacci sequence happens to be one of them. So it's a pattern that we see in the way that plants grow or amount of petals on a flower. It's called the golden ratio. And it's like 1.618 or something like that. But the golden ratio. So it begins with 1, 2, 3, 5, and it jumps to 8. So you're thinking, okay, maybe it's like every other number. After 8, it goes to 13 and 21 and then 34. And you're like, what? There's simply no pattern. But a long time ago, there was a really smart mathematician. I'm going to go out on a limb. Maybe his name was Fibonacci. I'm not so good at math history, except for I know a few guys like Leibniz and Newton, but I'm going to guess that Fibonacci made the Fibonacci numbers. He didn't make them. No, of course, there's another interesting property. He just found the sequence. He found the pattern. And that's really remarkable, because when I boil it down to mathematics, I think, what really is it? And to me, my favorite thing in mathematics was finding the pattern. And patterns, they kind of, they make me feel, personally, they make me feel at ease, because you can sort of predict what's going to come next. And if you have a rule, like Fibonacci made up, then you know what's going to happen next, or you know what the next number in the sequence is. If you ever look at an artichoke, the amount of petals that come out is a Fibonacci number. So let's go back to this whole idea of sacred math. For me, I find comfort in knowing that there's, and this is where it can get a little bit spiritual, but there's comfort in knowing that there are patterns that extend across from our brain to nature to engineering, to everything that we do in our universe. We can see these mathematical patterns, or we can see these theorems in use or in practical settings. And to believe that there was or is some higher power that's kind of operating these mathematical principles would be to believe that sacred math is real. Today I went out on a run, and so running is kind of like my thing, you know. I'm very slow. I'm probably average about a 9 minute and 13 second mile, which is pretty slow, but I have fun. I enjoy it. I put my music on, and I allow myself, regardless of what the music is bopping in my ear, I just allow myself time to think. And I've had epiphanies. I have a favorite route near my house, and there's this hill. It's jagged. It's very scary, but I call it Epiphany Hill, because every single time I go down the hill, I just have this moment of enlightenment. But today I didn't go down Epiphany Hill. I just went on this short little 6-mile run, and it occurred to me that, one, sacred math and sacred geometry would be the topic we would stay on for a little bit. But also, when I was running, I noticed that when I moved my legs, the ground, my right leg and my left leg, create a triangle. In my opinion, I think I'm not backed up by science or math on this one, so it's totally opinion. And I think the answer is the strongest shape is an octagon, but I would argue that it's a triangle because you have a base and you have two legs. And something interesting is that triangles, along with a lot of other shapes, next episode we'll talk about a circle, because circles, ooh, we're in for a real treat, but they kind of all have similar or the same properties. So like I said, a triangle has a base, and it has two legs. There are different types of triangles. There's equilateral, a right triangle. And let's take a moment to talk about a right triangle. So right triangles show up a lot in physics, in weightlifting, in furniture building, things like that. But a right triangle has two of the legs meet at a corner, at a perfect corner, and that corner adds up to 90 degrees, a 90 degree angle. That's pretty cool. But I want to take a step back and talk about all triangles. So all triangles, their inside angles, so the sides where the legs touch, right, the inside angles, all of those have to add up to 180 degrees. Now, thought to myself, when I'm running, do my legs and the ground inside angles add up to 180 degrees? I wasn't sure. And I also wasn't sure if I had made a perfect triangle, or if, you know, at one point or at all points, one of my legs was lifted off the ground, or if there was ever a moment where both of my feet were on the ground and my legs, I don't know. But a new era we're stepping into is going to be talking about sacred math and the beauty that we can see in everyday life. So next time you're looking at a flower petal, or not a flower petal, but a flower bulb, count how many petals there are. Or if you are cutting down some tree branches, or you're even cutting a tree, look at how many rings there are in the tree, or look at how many leaves are on a tree branch. And then look up the Fibonacci sequence and let me know if what you counted was a Fibonacci number. And I'm willing to bet you that it probably was. Thank you so much for listening. I know we were kind of all over the place today, but I'm looking forward to our next talks. And pretty soon we'll be talking about a circle and unity and the beauty that comes in infinity. Until then, think about some math, look up the Fibonacci sequence, and enjoy your day.